So I've got to accomplish three things in today's service. I'm going to talk about the story of God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac to see where his ultimate loyalty lay. Just a real simple, straightforward, easy to understand story. And then I'm going to talk about that gospel, also very straightforward, Jesus telling the man to sell all of his possessions. And then I am going to talk about financial generosity without using these stories of extreme sacrifice to manipulate you. So thank you, Dan, for saying that you would pray for me this week as I prepared this sermon. Today's story about Abraham and Isaac is challenging, and that seems like an understatement. According to the 22nd chapter of Genesis, God tests Abraham by asking him to sacrifice his son. Abraham goes through the motions of going on a journey to do this, and he even goes so far as to pile up wood, bind his son, and put his son on top of that wood and take out a knife. But at the last minute, an angel of the Lord intervenes, and God provides a ram for the burnt offering. This story raises many questions. How and why would God ask Abraham to do this? How could Abraham be so willing, and especially when he argues with God elsewhere in Genesis? Did Isaac know what was happening? The rabbis have been arguing about whether he was a child or 37 years old for a long time. I love that, 37, just that exact age. But did Isaac know what was happening? And if he did, was he as passive as the text suggests? Curious as to what Jewish rabbis have had to say about this text, I spent some time doing research this week, and these are some of the interpretations I found. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, who some of you may be familiar with, he's written quite a few books, and he's the former chief rabbi of Great Britain, stated that the test was not whether Abraham would sacrifice his son, but whether he would give him over to God. Rabbi Avadon Friedman argued that ultimately what was demanded of Abraham was the willingness to sacrifice everything, not the act of sacrifice itself. Rabbi David Silver argues that there is no room for arguing with God in this story. Whereas in other situations, God invites an argument, here God does not want or desire one. And I love the tradition of Midrash, of probing the text, of arguing with the text, of debating, of struggling to understand. For Christians, the story of Abraham and Isaac is a precursor to the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, a story in which God gives up his only son for the sake of the world, for our sake, for the promises God has made. While deeply disturbing on many levels, this is ultimately, I think, a story about trust, faith, and obedience. The closest parallel in the Old Testament is the book of Job and the story of Job, in which a blameless man who is faithful experiences great suffering. To me, the most puzzling aspect of today's story is that God's command to sacrifice Isaac conflicts with God's promise. God's promise to Abraham included an heir and descendants. The primary promise was land, but you need an heir to inherit the land. In Abraham's day, children and heirs were understood as signs that you were blessed by God. And interestingly, in the chapter before our story, Abraham sent his son Ishmael by his Egyptian slave woman Hagar away. Another disturbing story. And so in light of this, sacrificing Isaac would mean that Abraham and Sarah were once again without a son and heir, and they would return to a state of barrenness. Just as God instructed Abraham to leave the place he was living and everything he was familiar with in Genesis 12, here God instructs Abraham to go to another place, Moriah, where he will need to do something no loving parent would ever want to do. God here appears to be testing Abraham to see where his ultimate loyalty lies. What is Abraham's capacity to be faithful when his son's life lies on the line? In the Old Testament, God is portrayed as testing God's people, especially during times when they worship other gods or adopt the practices and morals of the people around them that are contrary to God's commands and God's vision for human flourishing. In the New Testament, we see the notion of testing in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Although we know nothing about Abraham and Isaac's internal state in this story, Abraham appears to trust that God will keep God's promises to him and that all shall be well. He tells the young men who have journeyed with him and Isaac that after he and his son go to a place in the far distance, quote, "Then we will come back to you." A little later, when Isaac asks where the lamb is, Abraham says, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." People often hear today's gospel lesson, the lesson I read a moment ago, in which a man asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And in turn, receives Jesus' instructions to sell all of his possessions and give the money to the poor. And most people think that God is calling them to sell all of their possessions. While this might be true for some people, I would argue that Jesus was asking this man to give up what was most important to him, the thing that gave him a sense of security and identity, the thing that cut him off from relationships with other people, bringing isolation and estrangement, as we discussed this morning in the Faith Forum. I think that God is asking this man to give up the one thing that got in the way of his relying on God and trusting God. The ultimate source of our, or sources of our security and identity are different for each of us. Money, fame, achievement, possessions, lots of friends, God. The question, who, whom, and what do we ultimately trust, dovetails nicely with the story of Abraham. This fall, we've revisited some of the major stories in the Old Testament, and we've been reminded of God's great generosity to us through the gift of creation, life, relationships, and the opportunity to grow, learn, and love. We've also seen that God keeps God's promises, provides, and brings unexpected newness. God has provided for us in so many ways, including calling us to this faith community where we can deepen our relationships with God, one another, and our neighbors. engage in the spiritual practices that will help us live Jesus' way of love more fully and work to bring healing and new life in the many contexts, in the many homes, neighborhoods, workplaces, and places where we volunteer each week. What is most important to us? What do we value? At the end of the day, our values and priorities are revealed by the things in which we invest our time, our talent, and our finances. Our priorities are revealed by the sacrifices we make. I encourage each of you to take time this week to pray about how you will respond to God's generosity, love, and provision with your time, your talent, and your treasure. In the silence that follows, I want to invite you to think about what keeps you from trusting God more fully. In prayer, lift that up to God with open hands and keep those hands open to receive what God has to give you. May our hands and hearts always be open to God and our neighbors. Amen.